with Webb under center. Here's McCoy breaking a tackle. McCoy into the end zone, and Buffalo wins it. Incredible. Shady McCoy stopping the show with a 21-yard sprint.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. You know, I've got to say that you guys have just been awesome. You, the listeners, welcoming me to this opportunity to be the host of Locked On Bills after just two episodes. This podcast was ranked in the top 200 sports podcasts on iTunes, climbing all the way to number 88, last I checked, on Wednesday. That's unbelievable, after two episodes. So thank you. Thank you for hitting that subscribe button. Thank you for leaving a five-star rating and review if you have. And I am blown away. I'm so thankful. And the response has just been awesome on Twitter. Thank you for everyone who's reached out and said you're enjoying the show and the direction of the show and glad that I am hosting this thing. And that gives me a lot of energy to keep delivering the quality that I know that you guys demand on your Buffalo Bills, on our Buffalo Bills. So excited to continue our series today, going over the positions on the roster. Today we'll be focused on the running back group. And it's going to be interesting because yesterday we talked about the quarterbacks and we kind of had a very positive tone about the direction of that position group. And things are going to be a little different today, talking about a running back group that has a lot of questions and it really does kind of lack youth and exciting playmaking talent back there. So we're going to go through all of the running backs on the roster right now, break them down like we did for the quarterbacks. Real quick, a couple of nuggets here on the news side that affects the Bills, particularly on the coaching side, where the Bills, as we talked about on the Tuesday show, the Bills moved on from three coaches: Juan Castillo, the offensive line coach and run game coordinator, Terry Rubisky, the wide receiver coach, as well as Danny Crossman, the special teams coordinator. Well, the Bills were interested in Sean Coogler, the Broncos offensive line coach, and then the Broncos actually denied the request to interview him. And then it turns out that he's now agreed to be the offensive line coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, joining Bruce Arians over there. So Sean Coogler will not be the next offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills. And then on the special team side, it's been reported that the Bills are interviewing Keith Armstrong. That was reported by Vaughn McClure of ESPN, that the Bills would be interviewing Keith Armstrong for that vacancy, who was just dismissed following the 2018 season by the Atlanta Falcons. He was there since 2008. So he's in the mix for replacing Danny Crossman. And so right now we haven't heard anything in terms of the wide receiver coach, any interviews or anything like that. So a little bit of traction with the Keith Armstrong side of things. But outside of that, a guy that Buffalo wanted to interview in Sean Coogler, he has been snatched up. And nothing on the wide receiver coach front. So we'll continue to monitor that. And obviously, as guys are brought in for interviews, and if the Bills make a hire, we'll be sure to break that down for you here on the Locked On Bills podcast. All right, so let's focus on the state of the roster here, specifically on the running back group. And we got to talk about LeSean McCoy, the Bills' number one running back. Obviously, a very poor season this year. 30 years old is LeSean McCoy right now. He turns 31 on July 12th, so he'll be 31 going into the 2019 season. He is in year five of that $40 million contract he signed with the Bills back before the 2015 season. And the Bills have made it pretty clear they want him to be part of the mix in 2019. They didn't trade him at the deadline. Despite some rumors that was a possibility, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have both reiterated on multiple occasions that they want LeSean McCoy to be part of the mix at running back in 2019. And so I expect him to be part of the mix at running back in 2019. One noteworthy thing with his contract is that he has a cap hit of $9 million this year. Buffalo can cut him for just $2.62 million in dead cap space. So there would be some considerable cap savings should Buffalo release and move on from LeSean McCoy. However, I don't think that's going to be the case given the comments that Bean and McDermott have made and given the fact that Buffalo has a ton of cap space. So it's not really a situation where Buffalo is looking to clear cap space at this point. I do probably think this is the last season for LeSean McCoy in Buffalo. It'll be interesting to see what the future looks like for him beyond this season as an NFL player. It's easy to look at his season in 2018 and think that he's declined. I know that we talked a lot about the offensive line and some of the issues it had with, you know, creating space up front. But I don't think you can say that you watched LeSean McCoy in 2018 and saw the same dynamic player he was his first 3 years in Buffalo or at any point in his time in Philadelphia. A couple of things that really pop out about his production. Obviously, it was very poor. Only 514 yards, 3.2 yards per carry as a runner. He only caught 34 passes for 238 yards as a receiver. And two things that do pop out beyond those raw statistics are, first of all, he only had 11 carries that went further than 10 yards. You expect more, right? You expect more big plays from LeSean McCoy in the run game. Not entirely his fault, but that's a low number. That's a very low number, all things considered. The other number I want to bring to your attention is his yards per contact on average was 2.01, and that number for the running backs, there was 27 running backs in the NFL that had more than 150 carries last year, and that was dead last, the lowest. The next lowest was LeGarrette Blount at 2.16. The highest was Nick Chubb of the Cleveland Browns, 4.47. Looking at the middle of the, I mean, you look at this number, it ranges from 2.01 to 4.47, but most of the running backs are hovering around 3 yards, additional yards after contact, and LeSean McCoy at 2.01. So he's not winning after contact, and I think that's pretty obvious. If you watched LeSean McCoy run the football in 2018, when tacklers arrived, he went down. And a lot of times he went down almost in anticipation, it felt like, a lot of times, of a tackler coming. He just avoiding hits. And he just didn't have a lot of opportunities and space to create. And when he did, it wasn't that shady that we remembered. So I'm hoping that LeSean McCoy was battling injuries, banged up, obviously getting older. It's harder to recover. Obviously, the issues with the offensive line, the issues at quarterback, right? I mean, I'm sure when you look at the big picture and the context, that LeSean McCoy probably faced a lot of stacked boxes where defenses were likely daring Buffalo to throw the football. And so he didn't have a lot of favorable boxes. And the Bills' offense was predictable in a lot of ways. A lot of early down rushing attempts. You knew it was coming. It felt like a lot of times the Bills were running their head against the wall there without enough, you know, passes early in, you know, early in series on first, second down. A lot of run pass. And so I do think that there's some benefit of the doubt that LeSean McCoy deserves based on the offensive line, based on that he was banged up a bit, and then based on just the dynamics of Buffalo's offense, where defenses were daring Buffalo to throw the football. And that's what I would do. That's absolutely what I would do. So not a lot of favorable looks for LeSean McCoy. But one thing that I feel pretty certain about when I watch the Bills offense, when LeSean McCoy is in there, is there are just times where, because LeSean McCoy is in the lineup, that it feels like Buffalo force feeds him the ball. And I get nervous about that, because, like, at this point in his career, he can be a piece. He can be part of a stable of running backs, but, like, he can't be the one, like, the guy that you funnel your offense through. He can be a piece of that. And so I'm sure the Bills realize that, and LeSean McCoy's utilization next year needs to be more as a complementary piece. He can't be the focal point. He can't be the guy that we say we've got to give him the ball 15 or 20 times a game. Because I don't know that his skill set demands that right now, unless something changes, unless he's just a different player next year. And that may be the case, because you know, LeSean McCoy is a very prideful man who, you know, you get a chip on his shoulder. I think that's going to be a lot of motivation for him to come back out and produce. I know that getting 12,000 rushing yards is something that's very important for him for his career. So I expect a very motivated LeSean McCoy in 2019, and it'll be very interesting to see what he can do for this team that ideally has a better infrastructure around him for him to produce. But there are question marks, and it's, you know, by all indications, it's probably going to be LeSean McCoy's final season with the Buffalo Bills. Let's hope that that's a good one, because he's had a good run with the Bills, some Pro Bowls. I think he's been a great teammate. I think that he's, you look the way that he's, when the Bills inserted Nathan Peterman into the lineup last year, replacing Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy was very much a team guy. He was very much on board. And then this year with Josh Allen and how he, some of the words that came out about how he helped, Robert Foster come along this season. So I think that he is a good teammate. I think his veteran leadership is something that's probably underrated when it comes to talking about LeSean McCoy and his impact on the locker room. But we're looking for more out of him in 2019, and we'll see what happens with that. All right, let's move on to the number two running back right now in Buffalo, Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory is 30 years old. He turns 31 on March 22nd, so he'll be 31 here pretty soon. So the Bills' top two backs right now on the roster will both be 31 years old going into the 2019 season. That is different compared to what you're seeing across the league, where it's a lot of younger backs, but not in Buffalo. A lot of experience there. Chris Ivory, before last year, before 2018, he signed a two-year, $5.5 million contract with the Bills. And if the Bills want to get out of this deal, they can. It's very effective for them to, if they were to move on. He only has $750,000 in dead cap if the Bills were to cut him. I don't know if they will or not, but it's not like they're going to have to eat a whole lot if they were to move on from Chris Ivory, who had 115 carries for 385 yards and a touchdown last year, caught 13 passes for 205 yards. I like Chris Ivory to an extent on what he can do in terms of being a between the tackles banger, but I don't know that there's a lot of upside with, you know, Chris Ivory if he has to start a game or be the focal point of the rushing offense. I think he can be a piece of it. And it was kind of nice when Chris Ivory did go in, and to see a guy that can actually break a tackle and win after contact, because that's just not something that LeSean, McCoy really gives. And so I liked that the balance between the two. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that would have been a more dynamic tandem in their early 30s. They're not quite the players that they were earlier in their career. So, you know, I don't know how much is left in the tank or how exciting he is, but, you know, he's a guy that's going to, he's going to finish his runs. He's going to maximize his touches. And he's going to, you know, if you need a yard, if you're not going to QB sneak it with Josh Allen, but you want to run the football, you're probably going to look at Chris Ivory as the guy to come in and stick his face in a fan and be able to move piles. So he does give you those power dynamics out of the backfield, which are good, but, you know, he doesn't do anything dynamic in terms of being a playmaker, right? He's a pretty marginal in that regard. And so when you think about the Bills' top two backs, you know, LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory right now, nothing really dynamic, nothing really to build a rushing offense around. And so, not sure if there's going to be pieces added to the roster. I'm sure there will at free agency or the draft, which we will definitely preview both of those opportunities in the coming weeks here on the Locked On Bills podcast. But as it stands right now, Chris Ivory, LeSean McCoy are top two backs in Buffalo, and there's a lot to be seen with that and how exciting that is in 2019. Before I move on to the last few running backs on the Bills roster right now that I want to get into, I want to tell you about our sponsor for today's show, which is MyBookie. And as you guys know, the NFL playoffs are here, and it's a great time for you to get in on the action at MyBookie. Do not be that guy sitting around watching these playoff games with your family and friends and not having a rooting interest, not with Super Bowl 53 right around the corner. This is truly the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the playoff action by signing up with MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about great customer service, and they offer the craziest prop bets. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money during the playoffs, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but don't take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the playoffs. Use our promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate that offer. Again, that is LOCKEDON25 as your promo code. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid. We'll be right back to talk about the rest of the Bills' running backs right after this. All right, moving through the last few running backs on the roster, the first one we'll talk about after the break here is Marcus Murphy. He is 27 years old. He turns 28 in October, so he'll enter the 2019 season at 27 years old. He signed a three-year, $1.9 million contract with the Bills going into 2017, and so the Bills control him through next season. His cap hit's only $720,000. And there's zero dead cap if they were to cut him. So they could cut him and clean out that $720,000 if they want to. But he's a player that's kind of stuck around over the last couple of seasons. He's kind of fared well, you know, when he's been put in the lineup, and he's actually made some plays. I give him a lot of credit for that. He's probably popped in small doses more than a lot of these third, fourth running backs that you see. He started a game for the Bills. He wound up actually leading the team in yards per carry. He actually averaged 4.81 yards per carry. He had 52 carries for 250 yards. So he was actually averaging almost more than a yard more than what we saw from Chris Ivory and LeSean McCoy. Didn't play a ton, though. He actually was a guy that I thought would have a bigger impact in the return game, and it turned out that wasn't really the case. You know, he kind of gave way to Victor Bolden and Isaiah McKenzie later in the season. He did have that injury, right? I think he had the elbow injury that slowed him down here at the end and actually was put on IR. So we'll see what his health situation is. We'll see what his impact can be. I think he'll probably stick around just because he's a veteran. He knows the system. He has upside in the receiving game in terms of catching passes out of the backfield, but also in the return game. So he's versatile, and I think that matters for your depth at running back. And he's got a very modest cap figure. So, you know, Marcus Murphy, not a building block of this offense by any means. He's a quality depth guy, in my opinion. He's at a low cost. I expect him to certainly be in the mix going into camp. And then it's going to largely depend on who Buffalo brings in during the free agency period, during the draft, that's going to ultimately, you know, probably dictate Marcus Murphy's fate on this roster, but certainly a player that's worth sticking around and providing that depth. Next up, Tywan Jones. He is actually he's a free agent, so his contract with the Bills is up right now. He finished last season on an injury reserve with that neck injury in what was a play that we'd like to kind of forget, and then he had that the injury the year before as well, a couple years in a row where he's finished a season on IR. He's 30 years old, another one of those 30-year-old running backs that Buffalo has. I know that he's good special teams player. And so when you think about your depth at running back, having guys that you know can go cover a kick or a punt really matters. And so Tywan Jones is a player that offered the Bills that ability, but you know, a couple years in a row with the injuries, not sure if he's going to be part of the mix next year. And really, I think the Bills need to build a stable of backs primarily that can help the offense, right? And so, you know, can he help the offense? In his entire career, he's been very limited in terms of his offensive production. So it's not overly exciting to think about Tywan Jones being brought back, other than he'd probably be at a low cost and he does give special teams upside, but his contract has expired or will expire here at the end of the league year. And so he's a player that if the Bills want to bring back, they will have to agree to a new contract with him. Next up, finally, Patrick DeMarco. We're going to talk about a fullback here for the Bills. He doesn't play much on offense. Before I get into that, let's talk about his age and his contract. He's 29 years old right now. He turns 30 on April 30th. So he's going to be 30 years old going into the 2019 season. And so what is that, like four running backs, four backfield guys that are going to be in their 30s? Like, how many of those are there even in the league? And the Bills have four of them? It's kind of weird. Patrick DeMarco signed a four-year, $8.4 million contract with the Bills going into the 2017 season. So he's under contract through 2019 and 2020. I know he's a captain. He's a player that gets a lot of work on special teams. He played 233 special team snaps last year to compare to just 168 snaps on offense. So his value is on special teams. And when the Bills need a fullback, they certainly have one, a pretty highly priced fullback here in Patrick DeMarco, even though his production on offense really been very small, right? I mean, he had one carry for 9 yards. He caught three balls for 62 yards last year. So very minimal offensive output. Put his value comes in the leadership. It comes in the special teams. And when the Bills want a fullback, a guy that can lead block into a hole, they have it in Patrick DeMarco. Not overly exciting, and he's not overly expensive either. So that's something to keep in mind. And so I don't know. He's probably going to be back next year. If the Bill, you know, I can see the Bills phasing him out and bringing in a tight end to do the things that he does on offense. But in terms of leadership and having a guy that can fill that role and play special teams, there's probably enough here in Patrick DeMarco to think he'll be on the roster, especially given, like I've talked about earlier, that the Bills don't necessarily have a big need in terms of clearing cap space this offseason. So Patrick DeMarco likely in the mix. Again, not overly exciting, which seems to be the theme with the Bills running back situation right now. So this is going to be a position group that we're going to dig heavy into in the coming weeks in terms of different free agents that the Bills could target, different running backs that the Bills can target in the draft. And you guys are in good hands with that draft discussion, because that's what I do for a living. I'm full-time draft analyst for the Draft Network. So when you want to talk about the sleepers and those types of things, the mid-round guys that can help this team, you know, I'll certainly be able to bring plenty of names to the table. That's going to do it for today. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Shrine Game. I'm going to be there in Tampa Bay next week for that. And so what I want to do is bring up some of the names of the prospects that I think the Bills should be focused in on at the East-West Shrine Game. So we're going to talk about that for the Friday show and take a break from the State of the Roster series, but we will get through every position group. So don't worry about that. We're going to talk about every player on the roster. We really are. We're going to set the tone for this relationship with some good in-depth discussion on every single player on this Bills roster, just like I have now for the quarterbacks and the running backs. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. You can follow the Locked On Bills podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bills, and I'd appreciate if you did. And let's interact on Twitter. Let's continue this discussion. If you have comments, questions, concerns, ideas, bring them to the table. You can reach me at either one of those handles. Thanks again for tuning in. Tell a friend about the podcast, please. And we'll be back again tomorrow to talk about the Shrine Game and the prospects that the Bills should be targeting there.